title of our Sunday school lesson today is Joseph's Request for Favor is Forgotten, and our devotional and background study comes from Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our son.
Brenda was just bemoaning the fact that I had a long time to teach Sunday school this morning. I don't know if that's true or not. Probably got with us now. It's not quite a quarter after all. That's what she was saying, and she wasn't real happy about that. Well, you need to talk to her. But I don't know how long this is going to be, because I just kind of wandered around in this lesson here and was floundering around in it, and I don't know which direction it's going to go, so we'll just kind of embark on it and see where it takes us. First of all, I'm going to give a pop quiz as to what Terry read this morning. Is everybody ready for that? Do you remember what you... Joseph, this is this continuing serial. Joseph is in prison. And you find that probably the same person, Potiphar, or whatever his name is, the captain of the guard, is the same one that has given Joseph recommendations, because that's who he says went to him, as we studied before, where he, where his wife accused him of terrible things. But he's in prison, and it says, the scripture says, that everything that he does is good in the prison. Now, I don't know, you know, the prisons back then are different from the prisons today, mainly because nobody even understood civil rights back then, like we have now, when the prisoners get 3 meals a day and room and board, and in some cases it's almost like a country club, as they say. But nevertheless, you're still incarcerated, you're locked up. But in this time, prison was prison, and so I don't know how good Joseph had it, but in relationship to prisons, the Bible says he had it pretty good, because he was put in charge of everything, and everything that he did was good. It prospered. And back then, the prisoners usually had to grow their own food. They had to take care of their own places. And if Joseph was put over the prisoners, evidently he conducted himself and run the prison, because the keeper of the prison, the scriptures say, let him do that. And the Bible says it was at the behest of the captain of the guard. Now, Terry read where during this period of time, when Joseph was in prison, that they brought into the prison the chief of the butlers and the chief of the baker. Now, one cooked the food, and the other served the food. And it doesn't say in here at all why they were incarcerated. thrown into prison. But it's believed, it's speculated, I don't say believe, but it's speculated that somebody poisoned Pharaoh. And that was one of the downsides to being a king or pharaoh, is that there was always somebody who's wanting to get you out of your position by whatever means so that they could take over your position. And in a lot of cases, it got so bad that the king or the pharaoh would have tasters, you know, to sit down and eat the food that they were about to eat and sit around and kind of watch him for a while to see if he was going to tumble over. And if he remained upright and looked everything all right, then the king or the pharaoh would sit down and eat. So they're speculating that because it was the butler, the server of the food, and the baker, the cooker of the food, were both thrown into prison, that somebody tried to poison the king or the pharaoh. And it might have been true because these two men had a dream. And they dreamed, it said, a dream of each of themselves. So each one of them had a dream about themselves. Now, let's start reading. In the 40th chapter of Genesis, beginning with the 6th verse. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, came in to where the baker and the butler were at, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were 3 branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The 3 branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now what I just read, the baker and the butler gave their story about the dreams that they had, and Joseph interpreted them, and the interpretation proved correct. Now, if in fact they were in prison for poisoning the Pharaoh, that on the Pharaoh's birthday there had been enough investigation ongoing that they had found out that the butler was probably innocent. Now, they were probably both thrown in prison because, you know, you got one guy cooking and you got one guy serving. So who knew where the poison came into being? So he just threw both of them into prison. But if this is reading between the lines, because it didn't say this, I'm here making this up, but it just seems logical, that on his birthday, by the time his birthday rolled around, he had found out that his butler was innocent of the charges, and evidently the baker was the one who maybe had tried to poison him. So the baker was hung, and the butler was given back his position because he was found innocent of all charges. Now, you also notice that when Joseph was interpreting the dreams, that he asked the one that was proven innocent, which evidently Joseph knew what was going to happen. He asked the butler to remember him when he went back to Pharaoh. And he said, remember me, because I've been put in here and I haven't done anything and I want out of this place. And if you would just whisper into Pharaoh's ear and put in a good word for me, maybe Pharaoh will let me go. All right, that's the story so far. Now, I was reading this lesson and I thought, my goodness, what am I going to get out of this? And then it came across to me as I read on past this lesson. Sometimes Terry and I have to do that. We have to go back and see where we're coming from, and we have to go forward to see where we're going. And we find that just like Jesus, when... let me go over here. I'll get something wrong if I just tell you. 17th chapter of Luke. Just like Jesus did, or said in 17th chapter, there were 10 lepers that met Jesus. And he told the lepers, he said, go to the priest in the temple. Show yourself to the priest in the temple. And it said, as they left and they walked away, that as they went, they were cleansed of leprosy. They were cleansed now. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering him says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, in the cleansing of these lepers, he cleansed them, evidently. But he didn't save their soul. He cleansed them. But this one that came back, it says he made him whole. So he not only cleansed the outside of his body, he cleansed the inside of his body. But that's not my lesson. My lesson is somebody forgot Jesus. And I'm telling you, that's what I picked out of our lesson today. Is somebody forgot God. And I'll tell you who it was. It was Joseph. Now, Joseph was a man of God. There is no doubt in my mind that Joseph was a man of God. He was on a one-to-one relationship with God because everything that he did, God helped him and God perfected it, and it was all good and it was all right and everybody could see it. And you can't convince me that Joseph did not know that his successes was because of God. Now, a lot of people have success in this life, but I'll guarantee you that if God's people are involved and something happens to God's people, they know when God's involved. I mean, we know it. I mean, we can feel God in our presence. And we can look back on our life and we can see times when we know that God has interceded on our behalf. And I'm sure that there's a bunch of times and things that have occurred in our life where we didn't even know God was interceding on our behalf, but he did. did because we're His, and He loves us, and He wants to do good for us. And we may have put ourselves in a position where we could have got hurt or where we could have gone wrong or something. And He interceded on our behalf, and we never knew a thing this world meant. But I believe we all understand that. And we know that when things happen, it could be because God has directed us. But I think Joseph knew this. I think he knew God was involved in it. I mean, he interpreted these dreams. That didn't just come from him. The outcome was exactly how he predicted. Joseph wasn't a seer, he wasn't a witch. He wasn't anybody that could look into a crystal ball or look into the future. This had to come from God, and he had to know it came from God. But what did he do? Instead of relying on God, he asked this chief butler, when you go into Pharaoh, I want you to tell him to remember me and get me out of here. Instead of saying, God, get me out of here, he relied on somebody else. And what did he do? He forgot God. Just like these 9 lepers that were cleansed, they went off down the road, happy as could be, and the last thought that was given was to what God had done for them. That was the last thought they gave. Now, Joseph went to this man and he said, You, when you come unto Pharaoh, I want you to whisper in his ear and tell him about me and tell him I've been put in this place and I'm not guilty of anything. I haven't done anything wrong and everything's good and just get me out of here. So he put his faith for that brief moment of time in a man. A person. And when we do that, we're often disappointed at the outcome because we have placed responsibility or something that we want done into somebody else's hand. When God is there, He's right there to help us in everything that we do. And so often, as the 9 men did, we forsake God. We as God's people. I mean us here. I think we're all guilty of it. I'm not judging anybody, but I think we're all guilty of forgetting God at times. Sometimes. That we forget God. And put more confidence in man. Or even put more confidence in our own self. That's right. In our own self. Now, let's don't look at those 9 and shake our heads and say, how in the world could those 9 men have walked off from Jesus and never gone back to thank Him? Let's don't shake our head and say, that's just awful. Because we've done the same thing ourselves. I've done it. I have forgotten to go back and thank God for what He's done for me. I want you to know I have. And I will do it again. I will because. Because we're just humans.
Frail.
Frail, sinful human beings who, in the thick of the battle, many times forget to go back and thank God. Now, what was the consequences? I'm not saying that the consequences would have been changed if Joseph hadn't done this. I'm not saying that because I don't know. But maybe it would have. But what was the consequences of him asking the chief butler to speak to him about Pharaoh? The consequences were, so the scripture says, he had spent 2 more years in prison. 2 more years. Now, maybe, just maybe, if he had left it in God's hand, he might could have got out a lot sooner than that. And the story here again, like I talked about, if we do God's will, the story could have been read different. If we would just follow after what God wants us to do, we could have been reading where he was released immediately and no telling what he might have accomplished. But it didn't turn out that way. And I have to think that possibly because for that moment that he failed to remember God, that he languished for 2 more years in prison. It's just like Moses. Why in the world couldn't somebody like Moses at least be able to go into the promised land? That's where everybody was going. That's where God told them they were going. And they were all heading that way. And Moses was doing things that God wanted him to do. And Moses went up into the mountain and he talked to God. And he met him, I believe, face to face, because when he came down, his body was radiating this light that nobody could even look upon him. I think they even had to put a veil over his face because he had communed with God. And yet this person, this Moses, was not even able to go into the promised land. Because why? Because one time, he failed God.
Ouch. One time.
I mean, that's what we know about. There may have been other times, but that's what we know about. And God looked down upon him and said, "You're not going." Now, he let Moses look. He let him look. But he said, "You're not going." Joseph, I think, failed God, forgot God, when he relied on this man to try and get him out of prison. When I think, looking back on it, he should have been on his knees begging God to come and deliver him. But that's not what happened. It says that his request to the butler, was forgotten. And he never spoke to Pharaoh about it. So he languished for 2 more years in the prison. Let me see what Terry's lesson is here before I go much further. Okay, I can go a little further. So you all know the story. I mean, he does get out of prison and he gets out because he interprets Pharaoh's dream. But it was 2 more years. I mean, this man had to languish in prison for 2 more years, and I believe it's because he failed God. He failed to give God honor and glory and enough faith that God alone could get him out of prison. Now, you know, God, I've said this many times, God created us. He can do anything he wants.
How long was Joseph in prison?
Well, it says he was there for 2 more years.
What was prior to that?
So he was there before that, but you don't know how long. Now, Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery. And he was 30 when Pharaoh did whatever he's going to do with Terry's lesson. He was 30 years old. When next week the serial continues, and Terry will tell you what happens when he's 30. But he spent at least 13 years between when he was sold into slavery and when he became whatever he became, Pharaoh. Come tune in for next week's lesson to see what he becomes. So there was 13 years and at least 2 years in prison.
Can we just give Joseph a little bit here? I mean, realistically, my faith in the Lord might have diminished a little bit by this point. Sold into slavery, put in prison. Might have relied on God myself. I hate to say that, but realistically, I'm afraid I might have been wallowing in my own self-pity and figured God was definitely mad at me.
Well, I mean, okay, let's give him. He was wallowing in his pity. He really didn't have a lot of pity to waller in. Now, I mean, he was in a pretty good position. He wasn't a normal prisoner. He had it pretty well made. He was running this camp.
Just before this
happened, he was in tune with God because God was the one doing the interpretation of these dreams. He was right there with him.
Right. Take it from another perspective, that everything that he did, the whole time he was in there, was prosperous. And I mean, he just, it's, all this is good, all this is good, look what I've done, look what's happened, look what I've happened. And everything's going great and hunky-dory sometimes. That's when you pound up your own chest and run up down the road,
you know, all that,
and leave the Lord out of it, and that's what he did.
That's true.
He just, you know, figured he could do it himself, because all this other stuff had happened. Even though 3 days before that, he just had a pretty close encounter with the Lord, and his hurt did the drink. And then on the other hand, you're talking about the eight that never come back, the lepers, or the nine that didn't come back, and you said, don't check your head and all that on them. Well, that's no different than the Lord impressing you to do something and you not doing it.
Exactly.
And I'd be kind to. Right. I know I have.
That's a good
feeling. So.
I mean, they're not doing, those nine that went off are not doing anything more than what we would do. The city, to answer your question, that could very well be.
I think about Moses and I think about Joseph and I think, oh my goodness, I probably would be doing, I mean, if I had been Moses, I'd just say, look, Lord, how much did I get right? Okay? And then with Joseph, it's like, okay, I've been in prison now, you know, I didn't do anything with the woman, I can just hear myself. I mean, does that make sense?
Bargaining with God.
Yeah, I'd be like, what do you mean? I was there for you most of the time.
But you're looking at it in a humanistic way, and you're exactly right. That's exactly what probably the way we would all be.
Right.
We would all be in there bargaining with, you know, with arguing with God and saying, look, but don't we do that now? Don't we sometimes, don't that run through my mind? But look what I've done.
Now, we also could look at it as soon as they said they had the dreams, he said, wait, does God do that? If God does everything, he's helping me, he's prospering me, look at this, he can interpret dreams. What were your dreams? And then maybe he was thinking, you know, when the guy goes out, it's like, God sent you here so that you will give me help. That was my, you know, God sent you here. So, all right, remember me, I'm from the outside, you're my God connection, you know, God sent you here. And so on the outside, maybe the guy didn't listen, and the guy said, you know, God was telling him, go tell Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh. Maybe it took him 2 years to tell Pharaoh.
That's a stretch.
When he was doing as he was supposed to do, time wasn't right yet. You know, and I know we all hate it to wait for God, you know, waiting for God's time and stuff because we are such an impatient people. But maybe, I mean, you would grab what you, not grab what you can, but he's not going to just sit down on this, and say, all right, I'm
like,
God, get me out of here.
Get
me out. I mean, and say somebody opens the door.
Right.
Well, God, are you going to get me out of here? And it's like, the door's open. How much more can I do for you?
Right.
And I completely agree with that. So I said,
but
I agree with her.
But the difference is, Joseph was relying on a human. He was relying on a person. That's the whole.
But it's also an opportunity. And could it, if we don't act on God giving us opportunities. So in this vein, what we're thinking he should have done, the right thing to have done, would have been to not say anything, to do what he does by interpreting the dreams, and then let God take care of it. Because the opportunity was that he interpreted their dreams. That was what God gave him. But you're saying, the way that you're looking at it, Joseph should have done nothing. And then God would have handled it.
No. I didn't say he should have done nothing. He should have been talking to God, not this man. He was putting his dependency in this human being when he should have been putting it. He should have called on God. Now, let me tell you why I think. Because Joseph was in prison for however many years it was, and you read about it. You read about things that had happened. It says that he did good. It talks about it. It talks about the keeper turning everything over to him, and he did so good. What do you read after this? Nothing. You don't read nothing. You see, if God had been in and said, Joseph, I want you to talk to the butler. I want you to tell him that you need out of here. Then I think that would have been for a reason And then if he had stayed in there for 2 years, it would have been God's will, because there would have been something that would have happened. And you might have read about it in here, that what all good works that he did for the next 2 years. You don't see a thing after this. Not one thing do you see of good that he did in this prison.
Oh, I want to bang my head against the wall.
So then, because that's what I wanted to do, and then he was quiet and say, okay, Lord, get me out of here. And now then the guy would go out and like, hey, you interpret my dream, this time out there. You know, then, okay, so it was the, hey, can you help part that really was.
It's the waiting on the Lord that just, it's hard for me. That's hard for me, brother Lord. I'm just going to be honest with you. I can sympathize with Joseph 100%, because I struggle waiting on the Lord. I really want to do it in my time. I'm an impatient person.
One of the big issues about our relationship to God is patience. Patience. It's being patient.
Then the other thing is, does God send things to you that, just like he sent the dreams, he acted on that. He did something about that.
Maybe.
So should he not? I mean, if the doors just flew open and, you know, okay, does that mean he's free to leave? Or does he say, oh, wait a minute, let me.
I don't know, that didn't happen.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I'm thinking about opportunities here. It's like, do me and Cindy just sit here patiently waiting, or impatiently waiting? And it's like the opportunities are just passing.
Did we miss it? We miss it. I'm afraid we'll miss it. If we sit and we're still too long, did we miss an opportunity to get lazy?
You may have this opportunity if you fail to ask God to lead you.
Right. Well, that one I got down. That one I do on a regular basis.
If you're close enough, you won't miss the opportunity.
That's exactly right. Exactly. That's what I believe that.
Yeah.
If you stay close enough to God, you won't miss an opportunity. I think he was. I think you're right.
He
was
close.
Joseph was close enough that he did not ask. See, I mean, there's two
things
going on.
Oh my goodness!
It just went on his own.
There's being close and there's asking.
It's a lot of pressure. I mean, it's a lot of pressure.
Just being
patient. There is a lot of pressure there. I mean, to just sit and do nothing is hard for me.
Nobody said it's going to be easy. Nobody said this was going to be easy.
But the thing about this is, how many times did he ask him, Terry? How many times did he ask him? And he messed up one time. 2 years in prison.
In the dungeon, as he called it. The dungeon, we know it was a horrible place. I mean, when I see a dungeon, I mean, I'm claustrophobic, so, you know, but how many times? Just like Moses. It's like, so do we believe in the Old Testament maybe God was less forgiving? Do we believe he's more forgiving?
He's the same then as he was.
Oh, man, I'm in trouble. Mercy's sake. No wonder we have very many people in our churches.
Let me add even more weight.
Mercy's sake.
I don't mean to burden you down anymore.
Thanks.
But one of the preachers, and I cannot remember which one during the revival, spoke about God's little notepad that has got your name on it, and he's writing his stuff down. Now, he doesn't necessarily act on it right then, but somewhere or another, this notepad is going to get full, and he's going to act on it.
Yes.
Now, when that gets full, I have no idea. It may just be one thing. It may be 100 things. But that's in God's hands, and there's nothing we can do about it, except as human beings, as children of God, try our best, to the best of our abilities, to do what God would have us to do at the time that He would have us to do it, and then sit back and wait on God. Now, Moses, when he walked to the Red Sea, he pointed his rod out, and paraphrasing, he said, stand and see the deliverance of God. I don't know how long he had to stand there, but you best be standing to see what he's going to do. You You better not be out trying to swim in the Red Sea. You better just hang in there and wait and see what God does. And they walked over on dry land. They walked over on dry land. No mud, no nothing. They walked across on dry land. Only God could do that. And it took patience to get to that point, to wait for God to deliver and for them to get across. Now, they had the whole Egyptian army that was at the tail end of that bunch of people. And they knew awful things were going to happen if they didn't get across that Red Sea. So, what do you do? Do you just stand there and wait? Or do you jump in and start swimming? Which one are you going to do? You best stand there.
I'm going around.
Alright, anybody else have anything?
I'd like to tell my little story about my patients in court to judge all that whole crowd. I used to be bookkeeper doing the court. One day, judge sent the clerk out and says, call Mr. He never could remember my name. Call Mr. Bring the books in here. I walk in and that says, this is the Alexander movie, Bob Lillard. Now I'm talking about a house full of a courtroom full of high power attorneys. The judge sat down there, I take my book on the table, and I started taking the arrears of this account. And the judge wanted to know how much he paid and how much he didn't pay. I stood there and nobody said a word. One lady, you know how they do that. Nobody said a word. I turned to the judge, I gave him the figures. The only agreement I laid up on the counter, handed to him, or quoted. And he said, well, thank you, Mr. Thank you. And walked out of the courtroom. Now, that's the law in those camp courts. There's something going on, there's testimony going into the records. Nobody's to beg out the quote. And I walked out. The patience of the judge, he set the example to the rest of those big high power attorneys. Never said a word, made any sound whatsoever. Well, I've done that, done my job, and walked out the courtroom. I had to drive over my papers from Judge Taylor.
So, patience is possible. Patience is possible.
It has to demand man talking to us. Try the courtroom.
I think he's made the door to lower.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord tries to make it man talk, but we don't know how to.
All right. Anybody else?
Who's this?
James, would you dismiss us, please?
I have a call with thank you for this debate. Thank you for the opportunity to be there. Thank you for the testimony of God. For with us, to the living heart, to the preachers, even the practice.
Is Dylan preaching this morning?
Yes, sir.